Okay, good morning, insiders, and welcome back to another QS cast. This is going to be not a full episode, so I don't really know how to name this yet. Chaz and Tarkan joining you, as always. What's up, Tark?
Hey, how's it going?
But yeah, we just wanted to, real quick, just like a 30, 35-minute cast. We wanted to go over the article that dropped on the 6th, titled The Next Chapter for Magic Esports, which talked about, you know, kind of where WotC is heading, you know, 10 million in prizes across Paper and MTG Arena. So they just kind of laid out their kind of roadmap and what to expect for Magic and them, you know, them getting into esports and everything, which has kind of been on their agenda for quite some time, but the esports part of it has always been in question. But you know, now it isn't. Now we know exactly kind of what they want to do with that.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because the second I heard the news of the announcement, which was like the night before, I honestly felt like I hadn't been that excited about an announcement from Wizards in like a really long time. In fact, I think the last time I got like giddy over it was really weird was when they announced that MOBA, which is that mobile online battle arena game that they're, I don't know what the status is of that, but I got really super stoked when I heard that. But I saw this announcement and was like, I mean, I was like ecstatic, man, because I mean, this really shows their commitment to evolving what the game is. But my excitement was interestingly matched only by, I got a sense of similar sort of concern, or I don't know if it's ambivalence, but I guess there's the sense I get is that a lot of people are a little dubious about this whole announcement. There seems to be the sense of like, well, what does this really mean for the game? Whereas I view it as nothing but a net positive, and I'll go over my reasons why, and you know, Chaz, you can share your perspective, but
yeah,
it was really weird because as other people mentioned in Discord, there seemed to be this sort of there was this noticeable lack of, there wasn't hype, and there wasn't even really like an angry mob. It was sort of just, there was just like nothing. And I was very surprised because to be completely frank, I really do think this is some of the best news they have announced in a really long time. And I'm curious to know, you know, what you thought, but I was very surprised by that. But you know, I'll let you sort of speak on, you know, what you thought. But yeah, that was really interesting to me. But yeah, for me, this is an amazing turning point in the game. And like I said, I'll go into that in a minute. But did you notice that, Chaz? It was like, you know, I know a lot of people said, oh, it seems like they're getting more of a sense of gloom. But I didn't. It wasn't anything either way. You know, I mean, there was some people that were giving it sort of a glowing review, as you would, or really excited. And then there was some people that weren't. But overall, there just was this sort of neutral response, kind of lukewarm.
Yeah. Did I, before I get into like what I was going to, you know, elaborate more on this, I didn't mean to cut you off. Did you have like another point that you had before you went into that?
About the announcement?
No, just you were gonna say something. I didn't know if that was specifically about this.
Oh, you were, before you brought in the bot, you were talking about stuff to like cards to buy, and
okay,
I said,
okay.
We'll get into that. That'll be the second part of the cast.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I didn't want to like cut off your thoughts. All right. Yeah. So you know, I'm not as tapped in as, you know, I used to be, but I do kind of at least try to keep the pulse on things, and I kind of agree. I didn't feel like this swung any major way as like a huge outrage or you know, huge acceptance. Like it didn't go like overwhelmingly glowing or overwhelmingly bad. It was, you're right, it was definitely in the middle. Some folks went the, you know, I'm going to take my ball and go home kind of thing. Some folks are, hey, you know, oh my, you know, this is why, like, Magic's not dying. Like, look at this. This is great. And there was a lot, and then a lot of things in between. So I was just kind of taking what everyone was saying in the Discord. I mean, usually we have a really good discussion about anything, everything anyway. So this is like, it's fine that my main pulse is the Discord anyway. And there was a lot of great discussion. And so it felt like a microcosm of the larger kind of reaction of some were kind of, you know, a lot of questions. Some like didn't really kind of feel like this was awesome. Some felt like this was really awesome, like yourself. And a few others. And yeah, I'm leaning more towards positive because, you know, I may be biased in this, but I've been really hyped about where this is going ever since they announced like MTG Arena. And I think I've been pretty vocal about that. Like I've been pretty consistent about, you know, liking MTG Arena, liking the direction they're going with that, sort of having this updated, you know, image of their IP, like going into, you know, 2018 and beyond, you know, kind of not liking this antiquated MTGO client, liking this new client. I've been really consistent about that. So if I'm biased, then I am biased in that sense that I think this is all a good step in the right direction. And more importantly, like they've been talking about this, and this is kind of like a culmination of everything they've been talking about. And now we have something tangible, right? Like before they were kind of making these decisions and kind of being really, you know, very corporate speak and very, you know, wishy-washy on the whole esports thing and what that actually translates to in terms of Magic. But now I feel like we do have this clear roadmap, and I'm really excited about it because, what that means for us, I feel like, is a lot of player growth, not only through MTG Arena, but they said right in their announcement that they're distributing this through paper also. So I don't understand, you know, the kind of dubious take of, well, Magic, you know, they're going to just, you know, paper's done. Like, they said that.
Yeah, the price support is split between
MTG Arena and paper.
That perspective makes no sense to me whatsoever. But yeah, I mean, so if you go through the announcement, it's like, well, okay, let's backtrack and start with a few things. First of all, I'm of the mindset that Wizards is late to the digital party.
Yeah, it definitely is.
I mean, Arena should have come out years ago, but whatever. Wizards isn't a tech company. They're slow to evolve with these things, fine. But they're so late that I'm of the mindset that had they not developed Arena, and that Magic was going to be in trouble with the way that the gaming business is evolving and how much of it has gone digital. They had to do this, and if they didn't, then I believe there was a real threat to the business model long term. This, however, demonstrates to me that they recognize the need for a digital component. They recognize the need to have that be a focal point for the game, and they recognize the fact that they want to kind of focus again on the competitive scene, but in a new way, right? You know, like the fact that they changed the name from Pro Tour to Mythic Championships literally to me means absolutely nothing. It's literally just swapping. I mean, it's just a brand shift, and I don't care. There apparently are a lot of people who are emotionally attached to the pro name of the Pro Tour. And by the way, I was around when the Pro Tour first started, when it was created. Like I was playing Magic. So, I mean, I've been there since the beginning, and to me, it's like, whatever, you know, cool. Like, you know, change is good. Let it grow. I mean, Pro Tour sound rings a little bit more athletic and legit sports than Mythic Championships. Mythic Championships sounds a little more amateurish, but that's a pure subjective sort of thing on aesthetics. I mean, I could care less about the name change. Otherwise, you look at what they've done. They have attempted to address the concerns of pros that there's no way to make a living, a quote unquote living off of Magic, with this MPL, with this, you know, contracted league for top 32 players. By also having that, you're now focusing in on ambassadors and influencers again. And I think that's something that people also aren't really seeing in this, is that this allows them to finally really cultivate some serious ambassadors for the game in a way that they hadn't in recently, I would say, over the past 5 years, they sort of lost their way with. It used to be the pros, then it kind of was whatever, and now the YouTube stars have gotten in. And you have to remember, the YouTube stars are their own independent people, and they may or may not have the interests of WotC aligned with their own interests. And I don't mind calling out certain people, but if you look at Tolarian Community College, Tolarian Community College is clearly very aligned with Wizards' goals. If you look at somebody like Alpha Investments, I'll just put it out there. He does his own thing, and he has a massive following, and he is a major influencer. There's no way around it. So by doing this, people also have to realize that this allows them – one of the things that they can accomplish with this is it allows them to sort of start to take the reins in again on influencers by having a true professional component of faces that are recognizable and, you know, faces that these kids that play Hearthstone and they're going to be playing Arena that these kids can kind of get into. Now, the one thing that people have said – there's so much to talk about here, so I'll try not to jump around too much, but I'm trying to let my thoughts go from one thing to another. But the one thing that people have said regarding Arena being now – Magic being an esport through Arena is that, well, you know, casuals don't care about Arena, so this isn't really for them. I actually challenge that point because if you say Arena is an analog to Hearthstone or League of Legends, those games are – dominated by casuals in the same way that Magic in paper is dominated by casuals. And those casuals show up by the literal millions to fill arenas to watch the pros of their games play in like world championships and professional tournaments. So I would debate and argue that it is incorrect to assume that casuals who play Arena are not going to be interested in watching the Pro Tour. Right, with Arena, because it's a different way of engaging with the game. Right, when it's casual, when it's people sitting down in a kitchen table and four friends, it's the socialization that's driving a lot of that. But when you go digital and you have this sort of, it's not like there's doing LAN parties with four people. Some people do that for sure, but digital is a lot. It can be social, but it's not in the same way as people gathering around a table at a kitchen table, you know, in real life and playing. So when people play Arena, I think that they're going to be engaging with the game in a different way, and there will be a lot more interest in watching competitive Arena. Because if you're playing Arena, it's much more interesting visually to watch, and that's going to be just as engaging to watch competitively. Now, does that mean everybody? No, I'm not saying that, but I don't think the argument that, well, Arena players aren't going to care about this anyway. They're not going to watch. I would argue that's probably not true. The other thing the other major point, and we can get into this. This is another big topic, is that I firmly agree with you. We're going to see a player spike. Absolutely believe the next 3 to 5 years is going to be amazing for Magic on the backs of this announcement. And I think that Arena is going to bring in I won't put a number behind what I think there's no way to at this moment, we don't have enough data to quantify what the player spike could look like, but I predict there will be a player spike, a meaningful player spike in paper that will be a bleed over from people playing Arena and then moving over to paper and then people just hearing about Magic because Magic will be getting bigger in the gaming space. And when people get big, you know, when there are kids out there, there are actually kids out there even today who would prefer to play tabletop games than they would digital. Those kids, if they haven't heard about Magic, it is more likely now with Arena being promoted and tabletop being promoted that they are going to hear about Magic and they will play it, right? So I absolutely think we're going to see a spike. I think that paper is not going anywhere. Let me just address that really quickly. Like,
I don't know where this assertion keeps coming from.
Let's look at just strictly business. Okay, you have a 25-year cash cow, and in the business world, if you've been around for 25 years and you've gotten to the point that Wizards has gotten to with the business, you don't just turn the light switch off on that. Okay, that is their bread and butter. There are so many reasons why. Not only is it their bread and butter, they're a giant corporation, and it doesn't just flip like that. You don't just suddenly switch your revenue to a completely different model and a completely different product. First of all, second of all, Arena makes zero revenue right now. Magic makes millions upon millions upon millions in revenue. Right. So until Arena has demonstrated that it's making millions upon millions upon millions in revenue, they're not going to just give up on what's actually driving their business. So people that are like selling, I've actually heard of people that are like selling cards and kind of they're concerned. So they're kind of like moving away from paper. I mean, I would buy those people's cards all day if anybody's fire selling, but you should not be thinking that paper is going anywhere. In fact, I think this is only positive for paper, and this is only going to help paper, and that's going to ultimately trickle down into what we're all about here, which is the secondary market, which I think the secondary market is going to see a very nice boon over the next 3 to 5 years. I think it's going to be, I mean, when I say good, I mean, there obviously is going to be ups and downs, but I think this will overall, we will see growth in the secondary market. So I'm very excited. I think I hit most of the major points there, but I want to I want to pass it over to you and let you
chime in. And it's not only just split between the top 32 and just an arena. Like the MPL is comprised of 32 teams, but it's not just split between that. I mean, they're having a $1 million event at PAX East like this year. So I don't know. Like the paper was literally in this manifesto.
Yeah, so, that's what I also don't understand. Like, paper literally is...
And they're not getting rid of the Pro Tour. They still have the Pro League. So they're just changing some of their naming conventions and restructuring their branding, sure. But the Pro League is right there still. It's not going away, and I don't understand. So they're calling Pro Tours Mythic Champions. Like, big deal. And they're actually using the nomenclature that we're already used to anyway. Mythic? Like... Hello? I don't know.
Correct. I mean, that, like I said, that means to me, okay, we're no longer Pro Tour. Yeah,
so
whatever.
This is where I break down everything. So them promoting Magic Arena is good. Magic Arena is obviously getting promoted well past what I even originally thought. Well, I thought it would go there, but well past, I guess, a lot of people's expectations of this is going to be a tournament. Like, this is going to be their premier, like, online digital thing, platform akin to Hearthstone, where there is going to be people playing, like, MTG Arena for, you know, qualifying or tournaments or what have you. So you have that. This also kind of can now be, you know, in the similar sense of Hearthstone that, you know, stores can still run like arena events. Hearthstone does this already. I believe it's called Fireside Gatherings. Hearthstone also has pre-release events. I don't know if anyone actually knew that. There's about 10 places that they have in the United States that you can go to a physical pre-release with a tablet or whatever and play Hearthstone. Again, this is all under their, I guess, their Fireside Brawl or Fireside Gathering or whatever the hell you want to call it. In Europe, those 10 places are double. So obviously Hearthstone's doing this like kind of cross the aisle thing where they are kind of, they want some of that tabletop thing too. And I don't know if anyone ever, I guess people forget, but you know, the Pokemon Online TCG client has been out for like 7 years, right? Like it came out in 2011. So the Pokemon TCG has been doing this same model for 7 years, and they've been around the card game has been around what, for 20 years, 15 years, 20 easily?
20. Almost 20, yeah.
So yep. For 7 years, they've been doing this model. I mean, Pokemon TCG seems pretty healthy to me. I mean, they haven't gone away. There's enough people playing it that they can still support this model. And at 2011, at the time, they found it feasible to actually go this direction. So you have that angle. And when they're saying that there's going to be this tabletop thing and $1 million prizes and paper and all that, like, I just don't understand where folks come from the place of they're getting rid of paper. Like, well, if anything, yeah. The thing that I was arguing, so this was kind of the point that, you know, kind of go down the list. So pushing arena is good. Gets more visible people, gets it to a platform that a lot of younger potential players go to now, YouTube, Twitch, whatever. So that brings those, you know, new eyeballs in. They're still promoting paper because they not only can do the tabletop thing, well, they have the prizes for tabletop, but not only Arena can still act as like a facilitator for tabletop because Hearthstone does it already. Pokemon TCG does this already. Like they wouldn't, well, wouldn't have physical pre-release events if they didn't think it was worth it.
Well, and they're going to be places across the United States. They're going to put codes in booster packs, right?
Arena codes? Yeah, they're already doing that.
Yeah.
But that, but what I'm talking about is Hearthstone is a completely digital platform, and they still have physical pre-releases, like events that are set up. Montreal, Florida. I'm looking at the list right now. Austin, Texas, Quebec, Canada.
Wait, they have printed cards for Hearthstone?
No, there's like these pre-release gatherings or parties or
pre-releases.
I mean, you can go. I mean, normal stores have them where they're called fireside gatherings or brawls or whatever, where folks literally come into a store and play Hearthstone. The same thing can be done with Arena. So, you know, it's a great facilitator. Not only do you get people in that play Arena, they'll see that there's physical cards if they've never had any other exposure to Magic before. They may, you know, start up conversations with other folks that, about Commander or whatever. And then I was making the assertion that folks can still get into paper. Like, paper is not going away. I would be more fearful of MTGO because A, it was not mentioned anywhere. B, like, okay, they can keep it limping along. It is a good platform for older formats, but why still have that fracture in the community when the people could just get into paper? Like, I still think there's a clear avenue between MTG Arena and paper. Like, I don't see that anyone can, like, yes, folks may just play Arena if they don't have a store nearby, or they just primarily don't want to spend the resources at the time. But I think after enough time, like when they first start, they may not want to doubly spend on Magic Arena and Paper Arena. I get that. But I think over time, and especially if they play this right, you know, not only with the Pokemon TCG, you know, they give incentives of buying packs. Maybe folks will go out and buy a couple packs, and that's how you get hooked. I mean,
yeah, I mean, for every
original,
person.
My original Magic packs was, I'm not going to get into this game, but, you know, this seems cool, but I think I'm only going to buy, like, you know, five packs or so and then, like, never buy this again. And here we go. And here we are, like, 15 years later. So,
not to mention, they just rebranded GPs as Magic Fest.
Yeah.
So it's like, wait a minute. You're going to tell me, so we have this whole initiative with Magic Fest, rebranding that, but they're just trying to get rid of paper. They're not trying to get rid of paper. Well, let's just get that idea out of the way. Paper's not going anywhere. Like I said, if anything, it's going to be a very good next, like, it's going to, the next several years are going to be very good for paper. I don't know what the deal is that when it comes to Magic Online, I don't think it's going anywhere for quite a while. I know what's happening. I mean, I've heard all about the fire selling on MTGO, and I know the collections are dipping and this and that. I mean, you know, I'm not plugged into that economy at all. So obviously there's reason to be weary, but it's not going anywhere anytime soon. They're not just going to get rid of it. Everyone has to remember that there is all these decisions are business decisions, and these are revenue streams that are very real. Magic Online makes them a lot of money. Paper Magic makes them a lot of money. Arena makes them zero money right now. In fact, they're investing, they're just dumping money into Arena so that in the hopes that they will recoup those costs and make more profit elsewhere and through Arena. So Magic Online isn't going anywhere anytime soon, but I get it. And do I foresee the future for Magic Online as being possibly grim? Yeah. I mean, I don't see long-term, when I say long-term, I mean 10 years, both those platforms existing, both digital platforms existing. I think eventually,
I've been saying that.
I think eventually Magic Online is going to probably go away. And I will say that before I was on the fence about that. When we talked about this last year, I was like, man.
It was with
Nathaniel of Card Order. Yeah. He'll be coming back around January. He's got a lot to talk to us, and obviously he's the expert in all this. But I was more on the fence with this announcement. It definitely seems like they are going all in on Arena. So, but I think that MTGO has a good 5 years left in it, like of good solid, you know, business left into it. But maybe 10 years, okay, yeah, you know, there's probably going to come a time when that thing is just phased out because. Here's what's going to happen: Arena will either blow up. Or it won't. It's more than like if there's a greater chance that it's successful than not, I think. And if it just grows in success, that's just going to slowly push the need for MTGO out the door. How they're going to compensate people, or what they're going to do about an economy and all that, I have no idea. My sense is the practical thing to me seems that they would credit people's collections towards Arena, meaning that, you know, you'll get some kind of value of your collection, you know, towards Arena should you choose not to do like one last round of redemption or whatever they're going to do. So, that all that said, I'm talking long term. Like right now, the sky isn't falling with MTGO either. Like I don't think MTGO is going to be dead in 5 years. I'm just saying that it's very clear now that they are pushing hard in on Arena. So I would say that, you know, long term, yeah, it's probably more likely that it's not going to be around forever.
I just never thought that model would end up existing for a longer time. I mean, like, come on, you have. First of all, you have to pay for it. Secondly, like this whole antiquated thing of redeeming cards for physical cards that they mail you, like that's just I don't think they keep that around forever. Just that simple fact. Like, what other like digital, even a game that's split between digital and tabletop or whatever you want to call it, paper, does that? None. Like I don't, you know, Pokemon's been doing has been one way for so long, and then they released the Pokemon TCG online. They don't send you physical cards. Like, why would they do that?
Yeah,
it makes no sense. Like that whole, if they're gonna keep MTGO, they're gonna shut down the redemption thing. I just can't see MTGO and that whole like logistics of sending you cards and like redeeming physical like code or all of a set and them sending you a physical set. Like, I just don't see that remaining a thing. That to me seems like the first place they go to cut costs.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I'm sorry. I never thought that was going to be a thing that lasted forever.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, Chris Martin here asked, why would they wait 5 years to sunset MTGO if Arena has success? So it's going to, Arena won't have success immediately. It's going to take some time, and it's going to take some, well, it could, but it's going to take, okay, but it's going to take some time to just, can't just kick, people are heavily invested in MTGO. And I get that they have this clause in their terms of service that says that they can shut down anytime, and, oh, well, you're kind of screwed, you know, too bad. They're not going to do that. There would be such a backlash against that. So figuring out how they're going to like shift, how they're going to try and capture those, move those players from MTGO to Arena, they're just not going to end up getting a lot of super people. They're not going to do that that quick. I mean, yeah, Efren, there's a comment here. It says MTGO could end a lot sooner if people keep fleeing from it because of panic. Yeah, maybe. I mean, if it starts losing money, for sure.
I mean, that's the first place that everybody like cashes out of as soon as like any of these announcements happen.
Right.
So
okay, so Chris, to answer your question, if MTGO starts losing massive amounts of money, sure, it'll go sooner. But if MTGO is still like a cash machine, which it is right now, there's nothing to suggest otherwise that we know of, then it's going to take some time, right?
Bots have started buying again. Yeah, they have. And this is also the thing. Like, I think they're just getting tired of trying to balance MTGO and its economy. Like, they've released all these different things, like the treasure chests and all this other stuff, and trying to keep, like, MTGO worthwhile so people keep buying into it, while also trying to keep the whole redemption thing. And then, like, how do we introduce, like, commander cards through treasure chests and all this other stuff? Like, I just don't think they're going to, like... Who wants to do that? I don't even think, like, I haven't even tapped into MTGO, never cared about MTGO, and I'm totally biased. I get that. So take this with a grain of salt. I am actually saying that. Like, I am biased on this. I just don't see how you, like, come at it, even a player that's been around for a while, or definitely a new player, and see MTGO is like, what the hell is this? Like, first of all, it's this thing that doesn't, like, it looks like just like a browser thing. Like, it's like, it's not very flashy at all. It's like this like old like 1990 like web-based like window on my screen, and like it's hard to navigate, and I can redeem like cards. and then there's like these treasure chests, and then it's like, I just don't see it lasting for that much.
So Chaz, Papu's asking Chaz, you're okay if some sets don't make it into Arena?
I'm fine. I see it as another way. I see it at one point, MTGO is going to get in its own way. Like, they're going to get in their own way of, like, what they envision. Like, what they envision is Magic Arena has its own thing. Like, some sets won't make it to MTG Arena, and that's fine. Because MTG Arena is going to have all the sets X forward, and eventually it will have its own format. Whether that translates to paper or whatever is another discussion. And then if you literally want anything else that Magic Arena can't provide, you go right to tabletop paper. Like, I get it. MTGO is a really good alternative for, like, the real older formats like Vintage and Legacy that are – it's much cheaper to get into those formats on MTGO. But at this point, I mean, how big can the percentage of – people that play MTGO Arena or MTGO just for Vintage possibly be?
It's also possible that they lean out MTGO to where they only update, like, so they might not even add, you know, I don't know if they'll add every new, who knows, maybe they don't add every set to MTGO, or they keep it as just something for to play. I guess you can't really do that because you need new cards if you want to play Legacy or Vintage. Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. I mean, they dug themselves in the hole, but, you know, they have put themselves in a situation where they have people that are heavily invested. And I know we have a comment here that WotC had a 3-year promise on MTGO where they could not shut you down, or there was some kind of assurance in there. And that has since been removed last year. It looks like last year they removed that and said that they can just shut down whenever. I get that. I understand. But given that the Magic community is one of the loudest I've ever seen in any game, that the backlash from that, and I think players would, if they just shut down Magic Online sort of abruptly, I think players would respond with their wallets. I think WotC, that would be really harsh on WotC. I just don't see them doing that. I know they have the language there, the contractual language there to protect themselves. It, realistically speaking, I don't think that's going to really happen. It's going to happen that way. I think it's going to be a sort of a slow death, as it were. I think Magic Online still has at least five good years left in it, at least.
Yeah, and that's fine. Like, they're not going to shut it down overnight. I don't think they're going to do that. Like, I get, like, heated about MTGO because I personally don't know how, like, you can even be enamored with MTGO. Like, I get that people are invested, but at this point, when did MTGO, like, in its current form come out? Like, I don't know, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, maybe around the time of the Pokemon TCG? Is it, like, 10 years old at this point?
I mean, Magic Online?
Yeah, how, in its current, like, form.
Dude, Magic Online.
No, Magic, like, it's like current form with, like, bots and all that other stuff. Not like the original.
No, dude, that, like, was like, no, garbage. Dude, in its current form was like 2004, man. Like,
so
bots have been around. Bots. Yeah, with bots have, dude, but yeah, bots have, because, dude, I remember back in like the day.
Okay. So 10
bots
years?
That. Oh, 15 years? Yeah, 10
all right,
to 15
so,
years.
I mean, I don't, like, you've been invested for 15 years. This was not something that was going to last forever. I mean, I don't want to sound mean or anything, or, like, you know, insult anyone's intelligence, because there's a lot of intelligent folks that do play, and they have been made a great investment in MTGO and its heyday or whatever. But you're delusional if you think that this was going to be around forever. Like, if you seriously hitched everything, like, your everything to MTGO, if you haven't seen that this was going to be a trend for the last, like, 5 years, I really don't know, like, what other signs there were to, like, clue in on this. Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. It's like buying a Nintendo 64 and thinking that Nintendo is never going to make a console ever again. Like, come on. I'm not buying the argument. I'm just not. You're never gonna persuade me otherwise that, like, oh, you know, they gotta keep this up, and, like, so many people are invested and this, that, and the other thing. I think, seriously, they can look at the amount that they could potentially lose. And actually, they don't lose anything because all that bot buying and all that other stuff, they don't have anything to do with that. They could literally shut it off. They're not going to do that, but they could see that as a loss and just like move on. Like I don't think like the loss to them is that great. And it definitely saves them all the logistical, the thing that they have to take care of that no one on there takes care of, buying bot, like the goat bots and like all the bot buying and whatever. They still have to ship the physical cards. No one else has to do that. They could easily get rid of that cost and be done with it.
Yeah, and to be fair, I mean, that whole bot system, all of that, that was not how it was intended to be. Now, props to everybody who got on that train. It's been incredibly lucrative for them. And listen, I wish nothing but good fortune to guys like Nathaniel, who are incredibly smart. I mean,
the guy
built an empire through Magic Online. But let's be honest.
Like, as crazy as that sounds,
yeah, that sounds crazy. WotC did not intend for people to be building bot empires.
But they got boxed into a corner of they basically had to let it happen. Right, like they couldn't like stop Nathaniel and all them because then their MTGO would actually be screwed.
Yeah, so you know, I mean, again, it's sort of like, I mean, again, congrats, but it's sort of like, you know, ride it as long as you can. You know, they got a good 10-15 years out of it. You know, and like I said, I mean, they have another at least 5 years. There's been nothing so far that leads me to believe that anything's going to happen to MTGO drastically for the next 5 years. You know, but beyond that, and we might see little things that provide sort of a hint that things are going, you know, sort of downward, that we're sort of moving away from MTGO, but we got 5 years. I think we have 5 good years in MTGO.
Yeah. And I mean, Jay Temkin, several LGSs are already reporting new and returning players. Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people that have not gotten to Magic that are, you know, getting into it because of Arena too, and wanted like a Hearthstone clone, a Hearthstone clone. But that's what people wanted. That's what people, they want, like, you know, Pokemon TCG Online pretty much did it before Hearthstone was even a thing anyway. That's what they wanted, like a visual, you know, PC representation of Magic that they can get into.
So there's a comment here from Papu. Thinking that new arena players will port to paper is like thinking people will play Super Mario 3 after playing Smash Brothers. That's incorrect.
That's
not the same analogy at all. It's not the same analogy because those are two completely different games. We're talking about playing the exact same game, only playing in a different format, which some will find more fulfilling because it's social, or it's more social than not. So
the
N64 one is good, but this actual game comparison is not correct because you're talking about two completely different games. Completely different games. So if I said to you, MTG Arena players will then port over to Pokemon paper. Yeah, no, that doesn't work. And that is the same analogy as going.
No, it's like
people
it's
that
like
play Super Mario 3.
No, it's more of like what Efren said. You have a PS4. You buy God of War or whatever, or COD, and you have an Xbox One and you bought COD again.
Correct.
Like you're just playing the same game on a different platform. And paper or Magic Arena doesn't like give you, it's almost like you're playing like an incomplete part of that game too, right? So not to say like MTG, there's like you're not playing Magic, you're not experiencing the entirety of Magic. Magic Arena is only giving you one small facet of Magic. Right.
Correct. You also can't say the argument that, oh, it's like if Skyrim was, or it's like if God of War was suddenly a board game. No. That's not correct either, because God of War is a the video game is 100% different than a board game, whereas Magic Arena is not 100% different from tabletop Magic. Tabletop Magic is only a different experience, a different way of experiencing, and in many ways, an enhanced experience of playing Magic.
You can't experience Modern. You can't experience Commander. You can't experience Legacy. You can't experience all these Pauper, whatever, anything that you want to throw out there that you can't get from Magic Arena. So Magic Arena is a great way to like experience Standard and drafting or whatever. And Paper gives you all those experiences still, plus other things to get into.
Yep.
So I do think that after a given amount of time, look, if you're going to get into MTG Arena and you're getting into MTG Arena, like if you're going to be a player, okay, maybe, you know, some of the casual folks that like will get on MTG Arena every once in a while, kind of like Hearthstone, you know, test it out, whatever, you know, you play a new set and then you just like kind of don't play it anymore. Okay. That's fine. There will definitely be a percentage of people that do that. Very, very similar to Hearthstone. New set comes out, they buy a few packs, they play for a little while, you know, see you next, you know, time a new set comes out, whatever. But if you're getting into Magic and you really start liking MTG Arena and you like, you found MTG Arena, you're getting into it, you're liking it, you're getting into Magic, you're going to start doing some research. Like, you're going to start seeing some YouTube videos, or you may watch a stream, or you may, like, go and see, like, you know, what else can I, you know, go and, like, an article or go see, and then you're going to start seeing, like, the paper stuff, and then maybe there's a store, like, 20 minutes away or whatever, and you go in and, you know, check it out, maybe talk to some people, and, you know, you find out about Commander Night, and then you really like Commander. You go buy a pre-con for $40 or whatever, and you're hooked on Commander. I mean, it does happen. Like, people are not, like, robots, you know? Like, you know, people do, like, get out of the house at some point.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing so that's the other point that I try and drill home when I have these discussions with people. It's like, you know, it's not like human psychology has evolved to the point where we don't want social, where we prefer non-social human interaction to social interaction. And I get it that we are infinitely more plugged in than before, and the new generation is a plugged in generation. Totally agree. Hence why I'm saying that Arena needed to happen for Matt to survive and continue to pass. So these kids are still gonna want to go so down to Magic with Duels of the Planeswalkers. Duels of the Planeswalkers is
Tark is like kind of lagging. Yeah, you're like kind of lagging, but like, yeah, I'll fill in while Tark is kind of like getting through those issues. But you know, I did not traditionally go through that kind of avenue to get into the game. I got through into the game entirely by paper. But you know, today I kind of see the kind of steps of someone, you know, maybe tries Arena, you know, gets really into Arena. Again, there could be that percentage that just like tries Arena, you know, they play it for a little while, then they kind of just get bored of it. Or, you know, they, you know, only play when like a new set comes out, whatever. And they don't really branch out. But for those folks that do get heavily invested into MTG Arena, that again, that's only one facet of Magic. I mean, they are becoming more like the Pokemon TCG than anything else. I think that is the better point of reference. I don't think they're trying to be Hearthstone, because Hearthstone doesn't have a paper side of the game. If anything, Hearthstone, like I said, even being just an entirely digital game, still tries to reach out for those physical, you know, interactions by having these fireside brawls or fireside, whatever you want to call them, gatherings, where they have physical pre-releases at these places. And I just listed off 10 places in North America. There's double that in Europe, literally double. There's like maybe triple. You know, so they wouldn't have, like, if they didn't care about the social interaction, why would they do that? What device do they use for these? I don't know, probably tablets. I remember, there was a store in, back when I was up in New York, it was over in Connecticut, name escapes me right now, but I guess Hearthstone still has, like, not just the pre-releases, but they also have like those fireside gatherings where folks like can go into a you know, a place that holds them, like a physical thing. If I'm wrong about this, I apologize, but I do think that this is a thing. And they go in and they literally play Hearthstone, but like face to face. I don't know what that, I don't know like why they would do that, but they do do it. So there is a reason, is because they want that social interaction. LGSs can run them, game stores, whatever.
I don't know if everybody saw the like the note in the announcement, but Wizards has earmarked prize support for, they say, organizations that want to do arena events.
Yeah.
So they're literally, I mean, it's probably not cash. It might be cash. I don't know. Probably not cash, but there is money put aside for prize support for people that want to do arena events. And we've already had Sean Johnson in the Discord room. I loved it. He was like, "Man, I'm monetize this. I'm already thinking about how I can get arena into my store." Like that's what's so cool to hear is like I love hearing when people, okay, sweet. Like, how can I just evolve my business and integrate this, you know, innovate
That's
great. That's great to hear. So it's like, it's just very strange to me that the response was quote unquote lukewarm, because I could tell that it wasn't swingy either way. I was surprised more people weren't excited about it, because it's like, man, they bumped up the money in paper. They added an entirely new component to tournaments. The money across the board is up. They're offering pro contracts. We can see how those are going to flesh out exactly what they'll be worth, but still they're offering pro contracts. They have, so people were like, oh, they took away nationals. They took away the WMC. It's like, yeah, but they also added a world championships. Okay. There's going to be a world championships. That's probably going to be both paper and arena. And then they have added the PAX $1 million PAX event, which is arena. Yep.
And then they added that that league, or you know, the pro league, and then the right. top 32 teams. That is structured exactly how like every other major like competitive digital IP and game is done, by the way. Like, you follow these League of Legends teams or whatever, right? Like, I don't know.
So the other thing too is now I will say this, and just because I've been spending time in Asia, Southeast Asia specifically. The people that should be complaining and that I have heard out here are these small markets, because unfortunately they did sort of get there was some letdown news in there. Like, they're losing nationals, and there was no comment about what like Latin America and like APAC, like what they're going to do to replace those big events for those territories. And there's some thoughts that maybe they're going to give them more PTQs. You know, so like it is unfortunate for small markets. Like, you know, Asia's kind of getting the shaft here because they lost a huge tournament and haven't heard anything about a replacement. And, you know, I can tell you that especially in places like Latin America, Southeast Asia, and APAC in general, well, I don't say APAC because there's Australia and whatnot, but like in Southeast Asia, it's not so easy to get arena, like a good internet connection, and be able to play arena all the time. Not everybody can actually even afford to do that. And I know arena's free, but like, you know, believe it or not, what that's going to end up to, my point here is that, you know, they're going to need to figure out a way to still service these small markets. Again, why paper is not going to go anywhere, because paper is the primary way people play here in these kind of smaller markets. And two, the point I was going with the arena thing is that that's going to force the players to leave their house because maybe they don't have good internet, and these internet cafes or game stores that are going to have arena events, and then they're going to engage with Magic, and then they'll hear about paper and whatnot. So again, overall, it's awesome. It does kind of suck for the smaller markets, the part of the news, but I'm confident that Wizards will give them something to replace. They'll figure out a way to do something for these regional areas that sort of lost a little bit of stuff. But for Magic in general, like, this was just awesome news. Like, there, it was just nothing but good stuff here. Like, so the name changed from Pro Tour to Mythic Championships. Oh, whatever. Like, to me, that's like, whatever. I didn't even, that didn't even register with me. Like, I didn't even care, to be honest with you. And I know some people were like, oh, we're losing the Pro Tour. It's like, you're not losing the Pro Tour. You're losing the Pro Tour name. I mean, is it that big of a deal?
I mean, they're paying out more money, so that's pretty much all people care about anyway. Right.
So can you speak to that above? Sorry, I'm addressing Chris Martin has a question. The idea that paper boom could happen because of arena, and why the game has grown during economic downturns.
Entertainment is always big whenever there's an economic downturn. term. I mean, I think, like, not getting, like, hugely into psychology, I can't really speak to that. I haven't really extensively studied it, but I mean, people want to escape, like, their normal, like, you know, their problems. So that's always been a thing. People, you know, humans like to be entertained.
Yeah.
It always is the first place people will go to in any form whenever there's, like, an overall hardship in society. So, I mean, again, I'm sure someone can explain that much better than I can, but
that's
limited that I know, but that might even
entertainment industries are generally recession proof. And I mean, if you consider magic came out of, like, 2008 was rough for the economy as a whole, but 2010, 2 years later, when the economy was still pulling itself out, magic saw its biggest explosion in the player base. So I do agree with some of the comments here that 2010, 2011 was when the nerd explosion happened. Yes. However, I don't think we've seen the end of that. I think that was the first wave. I think there is more to come when it comes to, because you have to remember, it was literally up until then that gaming and that whole culture started to become accepted in the mainstream. Before then, it was a niche nerd thing, subculture. Only then did it just start to become accepted. It's only now, over the past, I would say, probably 5 to 7 years, started to become a thing in the mainstream. There is still a lot of road left for, you know, gaming to become bigger and things like, you know,
it's
magic.
It's like one of the largest markets now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, anything that anyone can pinpoint to make money.
Did that ad with Mix, so the commercial that they did for the announcement. Yeah, but I mean, that's, Magic's done that since day one. They've made cheesy commercials that they tried to, I mean, they've never been particularly good. Okay, so to be fair, I don't think that commercial was horrendous. It was cheesy in some ways, yes, but it wasn't, like, horrible. But that's like, kind of, they're not the best at doing really, really, really great advertising as far as, like, the TV and those video ads, like, the media ads they do. So whatever, it was just, since day one, they've made kind of pseudo cheesy ads for the game. I didn't see it as a problem. In fact, I really didn't think it was that awful. I mean, yeah, it was cheesy, but it wasn't horrendous to me. I mean, it did what it needed to do, you know? Yeah, it was kind of, like, corny.
I mean, it's like still ways, like those, like, cheesy ads for, like, toys and stuff.
Yeah.
But they're, like, so cheesy that they're, like, endearing sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But I mean, again, this is, and we're going to kind of wrap it up here soon. But listen, I think a lot of, I mean, ultimately, this is all beneficial for everyone invested, like, in the secondary, like, kind of the market of this game and, like, for everything that we talk about here. I mean, I do think it may not be, like, double the amount of people, like, that's kind of naive, but I think there's going to be a boom in terms of there's going to be a considerable percentage of more eyeballs and players getting into MTG Arena and back, like, you know, from Papered MTG Arena, from Arena MTG. I think another good analogy was, like, I think Chris actually brought it up, the kind of PC versus console thing. Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good kind of way to look at it, is that Paper's kind of like the console. PC's, like, been this ever, like, evolving kind of rapidly, you know, kind of surging thing. But, you know, there are players that play both, and it's, like, very common that they play both. So I do think there's going to be a considerable percentage of players that get, you know, eventually do get into Paper Magic through these digital IPs. And I mean, I just don't know. I don't see as MTGO as, like, being that bastion of, you know, really bringing in people. Maybe it has before, and I don't want to discount that, but I don't see it as the primary force anymore. Like, maybe it's just you know, people check it out because they want to play Vintage, like, or Legacy or something. But I just think it's a lot to say, you know, you go from MTG Arena or you go from Paper and you're, like, trying to maybe see what, like, the digital thing's all about. Like, here's this old, like, client and you have to pay like $15 to get in, and then you have to pretty much buy everything on there anyway. So it's like, why are people going to do that?
Yeah.
You know, like I could spend the extra $15 and get myself started in Arena, right? Like I just bought a pack. I get a code for three free packs. They basically throw packs at you when you first log on. You get like the starter bundle for like $5. They give you like enough for a draft and like some other stuff. And like they're going to spend $15 on MTGO and then like have to deal with all this nonsense of like treasure chests and stuff. And like, I don't know.
I'll be honest with you, man. I mean, not only do I think we're going to see like a player uptick. I think we might be pleasantly surprised as really how many new players come in from this. Yeah. I mean, seriously, like these fears that paper is going away are so crazy to me. Like, you guys don't understand. It is very possible that we see another like literal player explosion over the next few years because of this. I mean. Having a whole new arena league and people playing the game, like more people coming to the game. It's very possible we see a massive, massive explosion.
I mean, and for anyone that like is like totally naysaying and like conspiracy, like, you know, they don't like WotC or whatever. I mean, WotC finally backed up like what they said that they were going to do. I mean, you know, you may not think it's like the best, or you may like kind of be upset about like the tournament structure or whatever. But they actually, you know, followed up on what they said that they were going to do. Like, they kept talking about the esports. We didn't really get to see, like, what that meant. We're seeing that now. They're fully committed to doing this. They're throwing the money behind it. And, you know, for the people that, you know, have their gripes about WotC, they you know, came through on what they said that they were going to do and what they set out to do. So I do agree with you, Tark. Like, with WotC kind of doing that and throwing those big kind of money purses around for, you know, Magic and, you know, or MTG Arena and tabletop or paper, whatever you want to call it. You know, I think that's all good things to be kind of confident about, like buying into paper and, you know, appropriating MTG Arena to your business model if you're a store owner.
And with that, I think we should wrap up this part and move on to our couple of picks real quick and then go ahead and wrap it up.
So this is what I was talking about like before the cast. Like, for those that like listen to the show and know me, like I don't like just throw picks out. Like, I don't just like pick cards for the sake of it. Like, I don't do that. Like, and even when I was like originally writing articles, like I didn't write just like articles and just try not to mail them in. So I would like, in lieu of writing I wouldn't write an article if I didn't feel like I had something worthwhile to say. Like, I don't try not to do that. And I think I've been pretty consistent about doing that. But I think this is a good time. And, you know, people do appreciate when I do this because, you know, folks do tell me. So, you know, I guess in a certain sense, I don't like falling back on it too much, but, I do like throwing out the evergreen of, you know, you probably should think about grabbing some reserve list stuff again before, you know, a couple months shows up and like all this buying spree happens again. And everyone's like, oh my God, like you already have the cards. A lot of the stuff that kind of exploded on the reserve list kind of cooled off in a big way, you know, especially Duel Lands 2, you know, as everyone was kind of, and they're kind of still in this mode of like selling off like extra stuff just to like free up capital and having the liquid cash. Like, a lot of stuff has really cooled off and tanked. So now is a good time to kind of get back into that. And just another, like, I know we brought it up not too long ago, but I still think the Commander stuff, like the more recent Commander products, like we've even seen the sealed product of Commander 2016 increase. That was the one with like the vampires and the dragons, right? So that started to increase already, especially the sealed product. For as much as they're getting like starting to see play, I just feel like the certain cards like a Manitow, Lord Windgrace, like stuff like that, it's still pretty cheap. I mean, they're like $4 or $5. Like, Estrid's like less than $2. So I just think all that stuff is kind of good to kind of stock up on.
Yeah, you and I are super deep,
but you know, I think a couple copies wouldn't hurt.
Yep, you and I are thinking we're perfectly aligned here. I actually was going to say the exact same thing. I stopped mentioning reserve lists in the cast because of what was going on in the market for the past year, year and a half. I now would be very bullish on, I particularly like all the cheap stuff. When I say cheap, I mean the stuff that's like $5 or less. If you go to MTG Stocks, reserve list has basically disappeared from there, which is a sign that it's now time to start buying again. I think we've seen the price correction in the large stuff that people were waiting on. That's finally occurred over the past year. So I don't think now is, if you're going to be moving into that, the high end stuff, be prepared to be waiting another few years. I don't think April is going to roll around and we're going to see Lotus and Moxes spike again. However, I do really, really like picking up reserve list stuff again because people just don't care about it anymore. You know, there's been a fairly decent retrace on some of that stuff. So
do you think dual lands increase again? Because a lot of them are off.
Yeah, I like dual lands. I like dual lands a lot. Yeah. I do. Even underground. I mean, underground's back to like $400 or $500, I think. $400 maybe? $500, maybe it's $500 still. But yeah, dual lands are awesome. I would say if you're gonna take dual lands. So I'm back on the reserve list. I'll probably start pulling reserve list cards that I like, you know, back when we do casts again, because I used to do that and I just stopped. But just for today, I would say start looking at those again. I don't know if this April we're going to see the same kind of behavior we did last year, but I'm sure we will see. We'll see some movement in the cheaper.
Yeah. I have an individual card that, I think this was like 2 weeks that I talked about it, though. We are going to do like you should probably get this stuff like cast like for the next standard. I believe there's an article on the website that is updated and like you can just go right and click on it. I think Kelly did it, wrote it up and mentioned a article from DeMars. Like they kind of covered a couple of those cards. But I know one that we discussed extensively on the Discord was Kumena. And it's like still like six-ish dollars if you can get it for that. I mean, that just seems like a no-brainer with like Simic coming out and like undoubtedly I feel like Merfolk too. So I do like, and it's a mythic from Rivals.
Yeah, I have a standard pick too. There was a blue Nexus of Fate deck that got third place in the recent Invitational, SCG, the Invitational. Nexus of Fate has tanked. It's back down to, I think, $9, something like that.
Yeah, it's
maybe,
like under
maybe
10.
$10. So yeah, right around 10 or under. I think Nexus of Fate still has some life left in it, especially with that performance. And it's got plenty of time in Standard to be to have another breakout. So I think if you can get them under $10, I think they're a good buy for sure.
Awesome.
So yeah.
All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for today. We will definitely keep touching on this topic in the future, like as more, questions and just more, announcements and what have you keep happening. But I think overall it's going to be good. So thanks for joining us, and we will see you later in the week. This is going to be the QS Cast signing out.
See ya.